Well, the other day I saw the following, and I just thought it was too cute to pass up. And it says, "For every Christmas tree lit before Thanksgiving, an elf drowns a baby reindeer. Save the baby reindeers." Many point to the joke that Christmas has become in our Western commercial society as just another sign that the apocalypse is upon us. And it's not far off from what the disciples are asking Jesus after his remarks from our gospel reading this morning. So Jesus, when is that final battle between good and evil? When will Rome be overthrown and we Israelites take our rightful ruling place in the world? I mean, that's what they're asking. But we're not much different. And yet we often aren't looking for a restoration. More kind of a sadness at the sense of that when all this happens, we're going to lose all that we have, all that we know. And look at the rise of the dystopian post-apocalyptic literature, such as The Hunger Games, with Mockingjay 2 coming out, the Divergent series. We sadly see the end times as the opposite of utopia. Nothing good will come in the end. We even joke about the zombie apocalypse and whether or not we're prepared for when it happens. Now, I personally don't believe that there will be a zombie apocalypse, but Jesus makes it quite clear that apocalypse will happen. Yet one person suggested that a sermon on this passage should be titled, "Everything Will Be All Right." But if we're looking at wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famine, how can we say everything will be all right? When we look at the carnage of the terrorist attacks in Paris just a few days ago, at the lives lost, not to mention the collateral damage to families, the ripple effect those deaths are having throughout the world, how can we say everything will be all right? We often look back on history with rose-colored glasses, wishing we could go back to a kinder, gentler time. And yet, tell me a time in history where someone wasn't fighting someone else. Show me a time in history where death and killing just didn't exist. When natural disasters didn't happen. I hate to tell you that it probably would have been in Eden before the fateful fruit was eaten. One sign says, "Everything will be all right in the end. If it is not all right, it's not the end." Seems pretty logical. See, we tend to fear the end times. We look with trepidation on this idea of apocalypse. Yet we as Christians should actually be looking forward to it. We should be seeking it because it's the sign that our redemption is near, sign that our salvation is going to be realized. Well, in humorous fashion, the TV show The Simpsons took on the apocalypse. I think it was actually in their full-length movie. And in one scene when the end of the world seems nigh, it's like the shadow comes over and the sun is blocked out and all the members of the church come running out into the street, and all the people in Moe's bar comes running out in the street, and then all of a sudden, all the patrons from Moe's tavern go running into the church, and all the entire congregation of the First Church of Springfield go running into the tavern. But what does Jesus tell us? But that the violence, the killings, the natural disasters are the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, I have never had a child, but my understanding is that when the birth pains begin, that doesn't necessarily mean the baby is coming right now. It means get ready. Be prepared. Be prepared because it could be days or it could be minutes. And even with our modern medicine, there really is no way to fully predict exactly when a baby will be born or how long it will take once labor starts. I think this is partially the point Jesus is trying to make. He's shown us how corrupt the institution has gotten. He's pointing to the reality that, you know what, life is probably going to get worse before it gets better. But that in everything, it's not about pinpointing the exact time, figuring out how long you have to last before everything will truly be all right. He's showing that even in the midst of the most horrible circumstances, there is hope. There's hope because the final outcome has already been secured. There is no need for us to fear because Jesus has taken care of our salvation already. It's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get the early Christians to understand, and something that I think we need to understand as well. Since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, in the 80s, Uganda was one of the worst violators of human rights, with murders, especially of Christians, being a commonplace occurrence. I don't believe they've gotten much better in their rights, but unfortunately other places have gotten worse, so we don't focus on them. But at that time, a widely circulated query from a British missionary society to one of its congregation asked the following: what can we send you people? You're being persecuted. Your archbishop has been martyred. What can we send you? The reply was this: not food, not medicine, but 250 clerical collars. The communique continued: you must understand, when our people are being rounded up to be shot, they must be able to see their priests. See, in the midst of it all, we have the hope that Jesus provides. We need to look to that and be able to see that in the midst of the hard times. We need to look to him and not to our circumstances to dictate how we feel or how we react. As one commentator states, yes, we will be touched by the awful destruction of the apocalypse as no one escapes its ravages. But for those who live with a faith that seeks a deep relationship with God, one that does not rely on trite formulas or poorly developed doctrines, we find in and through God's grace the pathway through devastation and suffering. We find salvation. For the time of destruction, which is an ending, is also a beginning for people of deep faith. The new life found in salvation helps remind us that to have new life, all things must grow and change. So it comes down to faith, to belief. Either we believe that Jesus is who he says he is and therefore acknowledge that he has enabled us to enter the sanctuary with confidence, to enter into the very presence of God with all of our sins and our faults washed away by his sacrifice. Or we don't. And we have no hope. Or we believe that there is nothing except this existence. See, we have been saved by the grace of God so we can know ultimately, no matter what happens in this existence, it will be all right. However, while we state that everything will be all right, we don't just then sit idly by. We actively wait. John Waller, who some of you might know, is a Christian artist. And when he was 19, he had this dream of singing Christian music. But it didn't happen. He said nothing happened for 17 years until the song "I'm Waiting" was used in the movie Fireproof and it became an instant hit. See, he had given up hope even as he had continued to write songs for his church. Finally, he created an album which he then sent out to people, but then nothing happened. No response. He said in an interview, "I was getting to a place where I was discouraged, and I began asking myself if I had done all this for nothing. A friend of mine called me, and I was struggling. I'd literally been in tears, waiting and trusting. My friend said, 'You need to write about that. people are waiting on God all the time. People can really relate to that. And I wrote, "While I'm waiting," in about 10 minutes. It took 10 minutes to write and 17 years to live through. And if you haven't heard the song, the lyrics are basically, "I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I'm hopeful. Though it's painful, but patiently I wait. And I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will not faint. I will be running the race, even while I wait." How do we actively wait? We do so by proclaiming the gospel, by enlarging the kingdom, by seeking him in all things, by drawing others to the knowledge of Jesus so they too can know everything will be all right. And we encourage each other to deepen our own relationship with God so we too can declare with confidence that everything will be all right. See, Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of John, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen.